You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're chatting with friends at the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music, sharing the stories of those who are attending the Institute this year. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today is Kathy Mage from Peace Lutheran Church and School in Sussex, Wisconsin. Kathy, thank you so much for being our guest.
And thank you for having me here.
We are excited to learn your story and share it with our listeners today. First of all, what is your role at Peace Lutheran Church and Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin?
I have been there for 15 years, pretty much at the request of Pastor Bender, who's been there double that time about.
Right.
But we've had a very good working relationship over the years, and I think hopefully we'll retire together unless the Lord has something else in mind. But I started off as just their school children's choir director.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of built from there. We had need for homeschool choirs and all that kind of thing too. So now we have a joint. The homeschoolers actually come during the school day, so we have rehearsals combined once a week, and I work with the academy every day of the week at all the age levels. And then I'm their full-time organist, and I now have an assistant, which is very nice, that came with me to this institute. And I accompany the senior choir, and there's just all the multitude of things a church musician does. I just do them like everybody else I know running around here. So
yeah.
So that's my basic role there.
Yeah.
And though Pastor Bender directs the senior choir, though, so that works really well. We plan together, we work together on just all the different fronts, and it works very well.
A nice working relationship between pastor and musician. I know that's very helpful in these settings in a church to have that type of relationship to work together.
Yeah. I mean, I can trust him to plan all the hymns, and we can work. And if I want to make a switch down the road, he's very amenable to all that. So it works very well.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've been there for 15 years. I know your church music career vocation probably goes back a lot further than that. And I personally know you and your family. So there's a little Lutheran bingo going on in this conversation as well. But I'm just curious about, you know, how church music has been a part of your personal life through your childhood, just how church music has just kind of been a part of you and your family life. Because I know it's really important for you.
I'm glad for my family, who I dedicated our last spring concert to my parents.
Oh,
because I just thought of all the years I was a kid who, why do I have to? But I grew up with my mom playing the organ in church and my dad singing professionally on the side and as an oratorio singer. So church music was around me and good music was around me, even when I was a rebellious teenager who wanted to listen to the trends of the day, shall we say, which kind of just sort of disappeared as I got into my 20s. And in college, I actually didn't expect to be a church musician, because in college I was a Lutheran education major, and a director of parish music was my minor, which was almost another major. But so I was actually a second grade teacher when I started, but I also had the senior choir and played organ every Sunday, and you know church workers who work 7 days a week.
Right.
But then after that first call, I became a full-time church musician and never really looked back.
Yeah.
That was, so there were congregations in Danbury, Connecticut, and Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and then in Milwaukee in the city, and then, and now I've been at Peace the last 15 years. So a lot of that was the influence of my family growing up, and we were in the church all the time.
Right.
And around church music, so. And now my own children play violin and are involved in the church in their own ways with that. And of course, now it just laps into all the lives of my students.
Right.
That has become a really big part of who I am involved. You'll see over the years how that, the older you get, the more you appreciate what you're doing actually has a lasting impact as you watch some of them grow up and become church musicians or how come back to you years later and say, this is how I'm using such and such.
Yeah.
30 years later.
So yeah.
So that's a very neat part of doing this.
Yeah.
So church music is very important to you and certainly an important part of your life and what you're given to do now on a pretty regular basis at Peace as well, which only makes sense then that you are at the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music. How have you participated in, how many institutes and similar events have you participated in the past?
This is my fourth one. I'd think about that a little bit, but it's you keep coming back because the worship is so wonderful. The workshops are just fun to go to. Sometimes you take away one little tidbit, sometimes you take away some significant. Like today, we have a new music appreciation curriculum. Our new headmaster has started at our academy. And so in one workshop this morning I had, he was talking about five different Bach cantatas, two of which happened to be in the curriculum that I planned for next year. And So it was nice. I could go up to him afterwards and I said, would I be able to borrow your PowerPoint from this? And he said, oh, sure, just email me. And well, hey, now the work is done for two of those cantatas already.
Beautiful.
And, yeah, it's nice. And then it was the last one I was in, just little tidbits about introducing hymns. You know, when you do seven hymns or whatever every Sunday, things get old and stagnant and you have to come to things like this to get re-inspired and push it up a notch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What are some of the other things you've learned? I know we're only, a day and a half into a four-day conference, but are there other things that you've learned from the sessions, from the worship services, the plenary sessions that we've had on the Psalms?
Yes, I've been actually taking when you're sitting there in a service and you're writing in your bulletins, you're taking back with you things like,
yeah,
oh, it might even be a minute thing they did with the psalm in the service. And somebody else might think that's really boring, but for
not
a church musician, it's like, wait, they were using piano on that verse, but now, wait, the organ came in full. How did he do that? Was he playing? Was there another person up there playing? And the instruments, how the instruments are being used. And, I never thought of using instruments on a psalm set like this. And so all of those kinds of things. And you just think after 40 years, you can't learn more. Well, yes, you can. I mean, there's just never an end to learning. I feel very humbled when I'm at these because as old as I am now, which is, 60, and been at this a long time, but there are some so much younger than me that I think, I wish I had been able to do that. And there are things I've accepted about myself now that you know what things are your gifts and where God has granted you. I think working with children has been my favorite thing over the years, and that goes back a ways, but maybe we can get to that. Because you want, and I guess those are the main kinds of things. I mean, you really just pay attention in every service and every workshop and every, and when you're sitting around at meals.
Mm-hmm.
I had a combination lunch today with an old college professor, my new organ assistant, a friend who's moved from Wisconsin and told me, I didn't know his life story, how it had changed quite dramatically since he moved to Michigan. And these are the interesting things you get to learn when you're just sitting around talking with people at these things and their life story. Last night I sat down and I said, Stephen, and oh, Starkey. I had no idea who, and he had sat down with my organ assistant, and so I got to hear stories about his life, and I had never met him before, and how neat that was to just sit there with this well-known hymn writer and just have a conversation. And so those are the neat things that you take home with you from these things. And I had only seen him in pictures, and I just didn't recognize him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, instantly sitting down with him. I wasn't expecting it to be him, and so.
And then the spontaneous conversations and the learning that come out of that and the partnership that, the relationships that come out of that as well. Tell us about some of the relationships through the years you've attended for these, and they're not happening every year. These are spread out usually about 3 years apart. The little bit of a hiatus between this one and the previous one, it was like 7 years, I think, since the last one. So what are some of the relationships that have meaningful relationships that have come out of this institute or maybe other networking opportunities you've had with church musicians that have really supported you in your vocation?
There's one big one, but I'll tell you one little short one. Just today, leaving Jeffrey Blersch's recital. That was kind of fun because I actually met him at the very first institute because he did a hymn festival at my church at St. Stephen's in Milwaukee at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembered that organ and remembered. So that's our only touch point, really. But we remember each other from that, So those kinds of neat things where you just meet with people who you admire. And it's so fun to be at these things and listen to them play their own music. Because you play their music in your church, and it's just fun to sit there and go, oh, that's why he really wants it to be done. And so that was delightful this afternoon to hear him play his music after playing beautifully Bach, of course. But but at a much earlier conference, and I was thinking about this because my organ assistant, who is meeting people for the first time. It happened to me at a conference in probably 1986 in New York when I was living out in Danbury, and probably one of the first conferences I ever went to, and I couldn't even tell you what it was anymore. But Paul Bowman was there,
mm-hmm.
and the friend I was with there knew him and introduced me. And just a few years later, we had both moved back to the Midwest. He was in Chicago and I was in Milwaukee, and he came up and did workshops with my choir students then. And we just got to know each other and really developed a friendship over the years. I learned so much about teaching children from him. And those kinds of influences just stick with you for a lifetime. And then I spent years, even after I didn't expect he'd be in my life for the next, was it 33? He died when he was 100.
Yeah.
So I think he was 67 maybe when I met him. And so spent a lot of time. His daughter lives in Milwaukee, so I'd visit him whenever he came up there, and we'd just sit on her couch. And the stories you get from people who were doing this for... So now I feel like I'm at the other end of it. I'm almost up to the age he was when I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's these young people, and I'm learning from these young people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he did too. And he never forgot him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you'd meet him anywhere at a conference, oh, have you met? He was just... He'd be right there introducing you to the next person by name, and he'd know things about them, and we should all be like him. He was really a gifted man, I mean, and a kind and gentle soul.
Yeah.
And, I think that's why he was as well-loved as he was. He just was wonderful with people, and you have to connect with your people, your church. That's just... And even if it's in your church or at these kinds of conferences.
Yeah.
Talk to the person in line next to you, right?
And right.
You find out, oh, yesterday somebody stopped me on the street and said, can you take my picture? Found out he was from central Wisconsin. You know, and he was a lay person just coming to this because he just is inspired by the services and just comes for, you know, just to be enriched.
Yeah.
Like we all do.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think I kind of want to know how many people here have a Paul Bowman story, because he was around for so long and met so many people. And it's just, like you said, just a very, very people person kind of person.
Yeah,
so.
And his daughter would think, she'd kind of apologize to me because he'd sit there and talk for, we'd, you know, like be there for 3 hours sometimes, just, oh no, I just wanted to hear the stories. And
yeah.
Because he had so many.
Yeah.
From such a rich life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And that's, you're surrounded by that at these mm-hmm. conferences.
Right.
And everybody's got their own story.
Yeah.
So. It's so nice, I'm sure, to be surrounded by people who want to learn like you do and have so much to share as well. We're going to learn more about that sharing and what you're learning at Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music in just a moment. We're talking with Kathy May of Peace Lutheran Church and Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We are at the 2024 LCMS Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music, and we are talking with Kathy May from Peace Lutheran Church and Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin, sharing your story, Kathy, of being a church musician and coming to these conferences, what it's like to network with so many people, with like the people that get the stuff that you were talking about earlier, writing all these notes in the services, things that people in the pews may not understand, but that you as a church musician and other church musicians that are here are picking up on all these details of how to enhance the services that you get to plan and lead all the time, and the people that you get to network with, the people that you get to build relationships with. And you mentioned earlier that you started as a teacher, that your great love is teaching children. How does an institute like this, how does learning all of this help you do the thing that you really love to do, to teach children music? How are the things that you're learning able to help you do that part of your vocation even better?
I think it just takes so much time to plan.
Yeah.
All of the things that we teach, whether it's how you teach your choir to sing, whether it's just even how to teach a piece of music to your children, mm-hmm. or how to have them hearing things that inspire them before so that they want to produce something beautiful. Last year, we started this new music appreciation curriculum, and I remember at the end of we listened to significant portions of Bach's Mass in B minor last mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. and at the end of 1 week, it was Holy Week, and the week before, we had listened to the Crucifixus, and it was one of the third graders piped up, "I want to sing that. I wish we could." And to which I had to answer something to the effect of, "And we have choirs in this city when you're older that you will be able to if you really are interested in that." And I think just like picking up at this, it was Matt Rivers today talking about cantatas. You have to absorb and read and learn. Otherwise, you have nothing to give out again
right.
for your children. And I think we all get in your ruts and you have to take the time to just hear other people's ways of doing things so that you can improve what you're doing. A few significant things I learned. Oh, I remember now from the past meeting Emily Wook and hearing some of her workshops at previous conferences got me connected to conversational solfege and first steps. And that has really changed my teaching in later years. I wish I'd had those materials much sooner. So you pick up things that really do significantly change your direction.
Yeah.
I'm sure it feels like you're doing the same thing day in and day out. It feels like you're stuck in a rut. So to be able to step back from what you do on a daily basis, to come to an environment like this where you have so many colleagues that you can learn from and that you can share with as well, that they can learn from you as well. I'm sure that that's very valuable. I know I'm learning a lot just from the conversations I get to have
right.
here at the Institute. Let's talk about the actual content that you learn about at Institute for Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music. Let's talk about church music itself. How does church music, whether it's liturgy, psalms, or hymns, how do they transcend time and generations? You were just talking about the boy that wanted to sing Bach cantatas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does God's music, how does church music transcend ages and generations and time to carry the gospel story, to carry God's word into hearts and minds beyond just Sunday morning too?
I don't think I understood. I know I didn't understand 40 years ago the depth of what you're actually teaching these, and it's changed over the years. I think working where I've been the last 15 years has also taught me a lot about the depth of teaching hymns and psalms to children, because I walk into my office in the morning and I hear the children singing to our pastor when they come in, because they can sing the hymn of the week to him. And then we make a big deal about it at the end of the week about who did their reciting, who sang to pastor this week, who did, you know, so that's, it all connects with what we're doing. And when I think of how important it was when I heard Paul, for example, Paul Bowman speaking of his teaching and teaching how he taught children. And I look back now and hear from people, you know, "We're glad you challenged us this way, or we're glad that we got to sing with you for this reason or the other." But it also can really take you those Gloria books that mm-hmm. they're so beautifully illustrated and mm-hmm. with kids. I just spent an hour last week sitting with a little child who is likely not going to make it to her teenage years. She has cancer. And her sister. We sat for an hour singing from those books.
Mm.
Just mostly me singing to them and looking at those pictures. And this had eternal significance just sitting there on that couch in that home. And I don't know that I would have appreciated that this is what this all leads to is, I mean, we are in the business of life and death. And mm-hmm. my favorite things at my church are our funerals.
Yeah.
They are, our pastor is very faithful about visitation with our shut-ins, and he knows his shut-ins, and that's most at funerals.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just beautifully, his sermons are always beautifully structured to reflect Christ with something about how their faith affected them as people on this earth. So I'm not wording this very well. But I do love hearing those hymns sung heartily.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and being any part of that is really important to me now. That's why I think sitting here in these services where you hear this kind of, it's even bigger than the,
mm-hmm.
and our singing is great on your church.
Mm-hmm.
My yeah. church, I think, are both really wonderful singing churches. And,
yeah.
and when you're in a crowd like this,
it's even more.
Yeah. I mean, I just had goosebumps on top of my goosebumps this morning with some of the singing that was happening. I mean, it really does. I don't know. I love the depth of the hymns and what we get to teach these children. And I wish I could think of a really specific example. But I know, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart is one that, and if you've seen that book.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's one that has been sung often to this child who's dying. And she seems very at peace.
Yeah.
Going to see Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. You want those children to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And that just is woven in through everything we do with our hymns and our psalms and and anything else we sing with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Yes. No. Yes. Yeah. And the vocation of being a church musician, I mean, there's so much importance in that of teaching children the faith, teaching adults the faith too, and how that's all incorporated into the music that we sing and how we're able to bring that into our homes too. It's not just something we do Sunday morning. I mean, that might be the big part of it, but that's incorporated into the daily life of the church. And that's something that church musicians are involved in too, teaching people how they can use this in their daily living. So, I mean, and in order to do that, like you're talking about your time now, but also your time 30, 40 years ago of your own formation, and you brought your new assistant organist with you. So how does an opportunity like this with all of these sessions and networking, how does that help you raise up the next generation of church musicians?
I think we just encourage each other. I don't have to really encourage him to talk to people. He's just very good at interneting, interconnecting with people already. But
yeah. But
I think we have to encourage this young crowd coming up, because, and I'm glad to see so many young. That's part of it, I think, too. You know, my old college professor, who's going near 80 now, and yet my 26-year-old assistant, and I'm somewhere in the middle, and we all have our place in this picture, and we have to keep. I have students now that I'm hopeful are going to be. I've seen some of them go on recently and taking organ lessons and moving ahead, and I'm hopeful will be very active in the church in their upcoming lives. So it really does matter. And again, I'm not sure if I got around to the answer.
It sounds like you've really learned a lot through your years attending Institute and other opportunities for professional development and learning and growth. But it sounds like there's also a lot of spiritual nurture that happens for you through events like this that connects you to the hymns that provide spiritual nurture. As you were sharing the story of the family that you were visiting and singing hymns with the family and the little girl, hadn't really thought of the role of the church musician in spiritual care.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you hadn't?
Yeah. I mean, in a very personal one-on-one setting like that, I often think of the church musician, the director of parish music of the cantor leading the congregation in the church's song on Sunday morning, but hadn't thought about that spiritual care that can happen through the vocation of cantor or church musician.
And I don't think I thought about that as much 40 years ago as I do now.
Yeah.
I mean, even this morning, the intersection of, I had just kind of awful news of a friend dying very suddenly. And so last night we were weeping Terry's for the night. These were psalms of lament. And this morning, joy comes in the morning, the psalms of thanksgiving and praise. And it was hard not to think about what my friend was going to be going through now, losing his wife so suddenly. And as we were singing, you turned my wailing into dancing. I will give you thanks forever. And that was my prayer for him this morning that just brought that right out, was help him to find joy again after such a traumatic sudden loss.
Yeah.
And these psalms, how much they, I thought this was just a beautiful way to build this whole institute. It has been really wonderful just going from psalm to psalm to psalm, and we could sing all of Psalm 119 this afternoon.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
It's going to be fun.
All in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
So this is some
long fell swoop.
I wonder how long it'll take.
I don't know. I think it's booked for at least 45 minutes to an hour or something, at least.
I don't know.
It's like this whole experiential thing going on, too. It's going to be fun.
Kathy, thank you so much for spending some time with us, being our guest on the Coffee Hour, opening our eyes to the vocation of a church worker serving in music and how they serve the congregation and individual souls as well. Thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.